Hello and welcome to another episode of the Sirs Group podcast. I'm JC.
And I'm Barbara.
And today we are talking about what to do when you're not tolerating the binders. So Sirs protocol, Shoemaker protocol, the only clinically proven path to healing from Sirs. The second big step after removing yourself from exposure is taking binders. So today we're going to be talking all about those binders and what to do when you're not tolerating them well. But before we jump into the episode, we are not medical professionals. We are SIRS patients. We read the textbook. We have a group of people who are healing from SIRS. So while we are informed, we are not medical information. So none of this should be taken as medical advice.
We are not medical information. That is very true. Sorry.
No, I disclaimer, I put it on the end of the last episode. We're clearly doing this after the episode we just recorded. I had an international flight like 2 days ago. My brain is in a different time zone. So we're all just going to need to give JC some grace today.
Absolutely.
Every day, in fact.
It was just too cute not to like repeat.
We are not medical information, guys.
Guys, I don't know if you know.
I'm a human being. Oh no.
Need you to recognize that in me. Yes, this episode is by request. Because some people they just jump right into starting binders, and sometimes it actually makes you worse before you get better, and that sucks. It's gonna feel like a slap in the face, a punch to the gut, whatever place you feel like you're being assaulted. It's not a good thing. It's called like the intensification monster is what I've heard Dr. Shoemaker call this. So it doesn't happen all the time. It doesn't happen to everyone, but it does happen. So it is, I think, an important thing for us to cover today.
And just for context, before we jump into what to do if you're not tolerating it, maybe it'd be helpful to talk about what to expect when you start binders. Like, what is a normal side effect? The
Yeah.
two normal side effects that I can think of are constipation, which is why we always recommend figuring out pooping every day as part of like your pre-protocol steps. Just do what you got to do to start pooping every day. But the second one, and the one that I experienced, was like extreme fatigue. I felt narcoleptic. I was on a third of the full dose of Welcol, and the first 2 weeks, I was like, I could take a nap right now. Like at any
Yeah.
moment, you could be like, "Do you want a nap?" And I'd be like, "Heck yeah, I want a nap. That sounds great."
Yeah, I experienced those two as well. For the sleeping, I have a pic it's a very cute picture of me just passed out on the bed with my dog, with Rosie, and we're like even holding hands. Like I'm sure I was like petting her or something, and I just fell asleep in the
That's
middle of the
adorable.
day. It's a very cute picture, but it was like I look at that and go, ooh, sirs, like that's the start of the protocol for me. But that what I did notice though, and I'll add this, is that was the very first time ever taking binders at all. I took several months off of the binders and probably had some re-exposure, and I had to obviously start it again, and I had a little bit but much less of these side effects, which makes sense, right? I have less toxins in my body to clear the second time around, so it makes sense that my side effects would be less. So I just remember anytime I've restarted the binders since the very first time, it hasn't been nowhere near as bad on any of the side effect levels. So that's cool. But I don't know if that's going to be the case for everyone, but it's nice to know that the first time is probably going to be the worst.
Yeah. And the reason that happens, talking about the intensification thing, is the binders are meant to grab biotoxins and pull it out of your body. So I like to think of it as like if you think of a jar with a lid and it's filled with water and there's sand at the bottom, that's you with SIRS. And then you add binders, which is basically shaking that jar. And then all of that sand is like spread out throughout the water. So these biotoxins that were previously mostly contained in your fat cells are now like roaming your body. So if you are someone who has like a very high level of toxins, or especially if you're still in exposure, it's going to be really hard to clear the biotoxins fast enough so that the, sand particles in that shaken glass of water isn't going to overwhelm you. I have no idea if that sentence was grammatically correct. I lost the plot halfway through.
I think I tracked along perfectly.
Okay, good.
And I will build on it, actually. That shaken sand glitter Snowball,
Oh, I like
what?
glitter better. Let's do glitter.
Glitter. Let's do glitter bomb. Cool. So that shaken glitter moment is also important to know about because this will happen with every dose you take. Now, with Welcol, you at full dose, you generally, again, talk to your doctor, but generally with Welcol, you take it 3 different times throughout the day. With cholestyramine or CSM, you end up taking it 4 different times throughout the day. Every time you take it is kicking up that glitter, dust, toxin, sand, all of the metaphors. So the reason that I say that is you will start with once a day on any of these, any binder, because even adding a second dose is like it, yes, you're adding more medication. So yes, you're titrating up, but that second time doing another sweep on your body is it's hard on your body. So do that slowly. I think with Wellcall, if I remember correctly, when we started with one pill. And then the next step up was 2 pills at the same time, as opposed to adding a second pill at a different time of day. And I think that's by design for, again, that kicking up process. We want to just have that once a day. And then when your body's okay with that, then you move on to adding another pill at a different time of day, to use Welcol as an example.
And if you're hearing what Barbara's saying and you're thinking, well, I'll just take all my binders at one time during the day, don't.
Yes. Thank you for adding that in as well. Yes.
Don't do that. For one, you're making it less effective because each time you shake the jar, it's giving the medicine more opportunity to grab onto biotoxins. The binders themselves only have a certain number of receptor cells sites for them to grab onto the biotoxins. So that's why you take it multiple times a day, is you're giving yourself the best opportunity to grab as many biotoxins as you can with the receptor sites available.
Yes, thank you for saying that because that is true. I had a friend of mine, a member of this of the group, the search group, who was kind of consolidating just because again we get it, the timing of the binders, which we haven't even gotten into yet, it with meals but away from other supplements, it's a pain in the ass, guys. It's like there's no it. Yeah, it sucks, and we all have to deal with that, setting alarms, get on a schedule, all of that stuff. So understandably, she wanted to consolidate, but unfortunately, that lessens the effectiveness quite a bit, to exactly what you just explained. So, the different doses are important, and the certain amount per dose is important. But all of that needs to be titrated up as carefully and as slowly as your body needs it to. And so, your doctor's going to give you a plan, something that they see work as often as something that they see work. Often, but your body may react differently. You may be able to handle a faster titration. Is that the right word? And
I feel
no
so
one knows.
unhelpful
It's
today.
fine. It's fine. Or you may find that your the side effects kick in if you go up according to your doctor's plan. At which point, tell your doctor. But that would indicate that you can't go up as quickly as maybe the normal average person.
So, jumping into what to do when you're not tolerating the binders, the first thing we need to talk about is the different binders that are effective for SIRS, which are cholestyramine or CSM, Welcol or colicevelin, and then, sorry, it's cholestyramine, aka CSM, Welcol, aka colicevelin, and then okra beet binders, aka mycobind. Maybe that one should be the other way around. That's fine. So when we're talking about these, cholestyramine is the gold standard. It has the most receptor cell site sizes. It has the most receptor cell sites so that it can grab onto the most biotoxins. So it's quote unquote the gold standard, quote unquote the most effective. The next one down, it has 25, it's a quarter of as effective as CSM as Welcol. And then okra beet is slightly less effective than Welcol, but still effective. And the reason that's important is because CSM is going to shake the jar the most, Welcol is going to shake the jar a little less, and then mycobind is going to shake the jar the least. So if you have started on cholestyramine and you're not tolerating that well, you can move to Welcol, or if you're not tolerating that well, even mycobind.
Yes, and obviously you are trading side effects for effectiveness, as you already perfectly explained. Weirdly, though, doesn't make sense. There are people in existence who did poorly on well call but did better on CSM. Make it make sense? I don't know. It's just so don't, if you are starting with well call and you're not tolerating it, it's possible you actually, your doctor may actually switch you up it based on what we just described. CSM, I guess to one point, well call comes in pill form. So I guess you could split those pills, but like that's not really done. CSM, you could literally start with like a sprinkle of the powder, you know? So you maybe you can just start so small and so low that's why that works. I don't know, but I do know that some people will do better with one versus the other, and it doesn't always make sense.
The other thing with CSM sometimes being more effective for people is because it has more receptor cell sites, it can grab onto more biotoxins. So it's like you're shaking the jar and you're detoxing the jar as quickly as possible. So that could be one reason why some people do better on CSM is like if you're going to shake the jar, you also need to make sure that you're eliminating the biotoxins as quickly as possible. But your provider will have a good recommendation for you based on your symptoms as a starting point, and then just know that you have options for pivoting from there.
Yes, absolutely. So the reasons that I guess we can talk now about the reasons that binders may be causing an issue for you. The probable number one reason that binders might suck is that you are still an exposure. And that's rough, obviously, because that means something has to change in your environment or in you. It's still an exposure can mean there's mold somewhere in your home, or there is an endotoxin source, or actinos need to be cleaned thoroughly, or there's a source of actinos, an actino creating factory in yourself or your partner or a roommate or your dog, or sometimes you need to look at your appliances and clean those or replace those. So start to like turn over every rock, investigate each possible source of exposure in your life. Maybe it's your workplace and not your home. And this is why the tests are important, to rule out certain things and to hopefully play detective a little bit and try to determine what is the most probable, cause for why you're not tolerating the binders very well.
And if you have no idea where to start, you've done the environment tests and it's not very clear which direction you should go, that would be a good opportunity to do the GINI, which is the genetic test you can do that will show you what you're currently reacting to in terms of biotoxins.
And I know that the genie isn't always fully conclusive, so it's not a guarantee for everybody that it will pinpoint the exact amount or the exact thing that you're reacting to. But for most people it is. For me it was. I did the genie test and it very specifically saw endotoxins as the problem, which was fantastic. Now I knew what to look for. It just gave me that direction of, okay, I need to clean better. I need to make sure my drains are all used. I need to start looking at appliances. And I found an issue with my washing machine, for example. So it gives you more information. And your genie is going to give you more than just that info. Talk to your doctor about it if you're wondering if it's worth it to you. So that's not the only reason to get the genie, but it is a very good reason to do it. And it's very helpful. The other direction you can go, or in conjunction with the genie, and also, of course, more tests, is to actually work with an IEP or an indoor environmental professional. There are some great ones that are very, very well versed in SIRS that you can meet with via Zoom, just a video call. You can send them pictures of your home or problem areas, or just kind of give them an overview of what you're concerned about within your home. You're going to get on a call with them. They're going to ask you some really great questions to find out more about your environment. The one that I worked with did his research without me, like looked at my house, when it was built, what kind of construction it was. He had a lot of great, and because they're construction experts, basically, they're going to have a lot of really great insight to give you a path or a plan of attack and help you kind of narrow down where to look for a potential problem. So that's another great avenue to explore if you are stuck and not really sure what to do next.
Another option that we don't see very commonly used is a low dose VIP spray to kind of onboard you onto the binders. This will only be effective if you're out of exposure. It's also a really expensive option. So it's kind of a last resort that providers will do. In our group, I've only seen it happen like once or twice. So it's not super common, but it is an option. It's something you can bring up with your provider if you're struggling to tolerate the binders and all signs point to you're out of exposure.
Right. And the other thing that you might attempt to do first because it's cheaper is adjusting your lipid replacement levels. You may actually want to stop the binders completely and then get on some higher dose of omega-3s, probably, or whatever lipid replacement that your doctor suggests. That is a really good way to, again, ramp up your fatness. That's not the right way to say it.
No, we're saying fatness.
Okay. Because the binders are stripping fat from your cells, from your cell walls. So you want to bump that up. So if your side effects from the binders seem to indicate that they're just stripping the fat from your cells and your body's like not having it, upping the omega-3s and any other lipid replacements, upping that first. And then reapproaching the binders is another great way to hopefully mitigate the extra side effects that you might be experiencing.
And just a quick add on to that, in addition to omega-3s, there are other lipid replacements that you can explore. Phosphatidylcholine or P-choline, the Body Bio Balance Oil is another one we see commonly used, and then wheat germ oil.
Lots
Germs.
of good oils there.
Yum.
Another reason why binders may be causing an issue for you, and all of the things that we've said as far as like how to mitigate that still stand, but it could be because you have Marcons, and we haven't really talked about that in this episode, but we have talked about it before. But it's good to know, and that's why practitioners often have people test for Marcons, which involves a nasal swab up your nose. And I've done an Instagram reel showing how I did that. I can link that and you can enjoy watching me stick something up my nose. But that it's good to know if you have Marcons. First of all, the main symptom of that is fatigue. So if you fatigue is a big symptom for you, I think Marcons is more likely. But if you do have Marcons, that's another factor in possibly not tolerating the binders that well. For what it's worth, I tolerated the binders pretty well, and I definitely have Marcons. So again, your mileage may vary, but it's just another thing to think of.
And last but certainly not least, we see this very often, histamines. So a histamine response is when your body is so filled with toxins that your mast cells just start releasing histamines really easily. I think we've done an episode of it on this, and if not, we definitely have stuff on Instagram talking about this that you can check out. But people who have histamine responses, like they won't tolerate all the foods very well. They won't tolerate new medications well. So a couple things you can explore to help with the histamine reaction is diet adjustments. So really refining your diet down to, essential foods. We recommend carnivore. We have a whole episode about that too. But there are other things you can do like histamine blockers. Those are medications you can talk to your provider about. And then also the one that I ended up taking and really doing well with was Crommelin sodium, which is a mast cell stabilizer. It helps the mast cells hold on to the histamines better so that they aren't knocked off as easily by the toxins.
Beautiful. Yeah. And I think really all of this episode, the big takeaway I would love people to have with this is to understand that this is why a Shoemaker certified practitioner or a certified proficiency partner with the Shoemaker protocol is so important. They presumably have dealt with lots of clients, lots of people, lots of patients that have gone through this protocol. And when you start veering off the track, which is what I would call, having some too many side effects from the binders, for example, when you start veering off, they are going to have the experience behind them and the knowledge to know what levers to pull, what things to try, what things are going to work the best, most likely, just based on how many people it's worked for in the past that they've dealt with. That's why that's important. And I know, especially people that aren't in the States, people who don't have a practitioner near them or they're not able to do telehealth. That's why even having like a proficiency partner that can kind of guide you through some of this stuff, is really important. So lean into that. And that's certainly also another reason why, and I can plug our group, the SIRS group, .com. You can join us over there. The reason that that's another good avenue is that you can ask these questions. You can say, feel nauseous or have maybe have some constipation issues, and you can go into that group and ask, hey, does anyone else, is this normal for the binders? And you will get some great answers about people just kind of validating your experience, telling you that, yeah, unfortunately, they experienced that, and maybe share some of the things that they did to mitigate that for themselves. So find support in whatever way that you can, but definitely encourage that.
Yeah, if there's one thing our group knows, it's how to poop when you're
Yes.
struggling to poop. Like, that is not an uncommon experience, and we have many tricks up our sleeves.
Absolutely. We're very proud of it too. And we're certainly never going to shy away from talking about poop. That seems to be a topic that comes up at least once every group call.
So, if you want to come talk about poop with us, join us over at thesersgroup.com.
We'll see you there.